Just an overall excellent day for the Giants, coming back from a brutal travel schedule. Didn't get into the Bay Area until around 5 a.m. prior to this game against the Braves, in which they won. Braves are a really good team, the defending champs. Alex Cobb was really good, and there was a little bit of drama with Gabe Kapler and Zach Littell in the eighth inning. So we'll get into all of it next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on the show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, there is a lot to talk about. Zach Littell and Gabe Kapler getting into it a little bit, or Littell at least being out of line and Kapler handling it. And then we have more details on the Wilmer Flores contract extension. It includes a third-year option that is a little bit unusual and somewhat complicated, so we'll discuss that. And then how about just this game and Alex Cobb being fantastic, just continuing a strong season. But where I want to start is with the Gabe Kapler and Zach Littell incident, simply because it really stood out in a season we haven't really seen much of this type of incident. And the way it went was that the Giants bullpen was banged up. And so they had a 3-0 lead in the eighth inning, and they go to Zach Littell. It's not usually a role in which Zach Littell finds himself. And so I was right away like, oh, really? This is the best pitcher we have to go in this situation? Because they had just activated Cole Waits They called him up from the minor leagues. He started the year in A ball, made it all the way to the major leagues. And so we'll get into that promotion in a minute. But I just wasn't sure going to Littell was the right move there. And sure enough, the first four batters he faced reached base. He allowed a double to the first hitter he faced, and then he allowed a four-pitch walk. I'm going off memory here, so if I make a mistake, I may make a mistake. Double, four-pitch walk, single, single. And all of a sudden, it was 3-2 Braves. And then he got a double play against Austin Riley, a really tough right-handed hitter. And at that point, it was 3-2 Braves, tying run on third base. And Matt Olson, one of the most dangerous left-handed hitters in the game, coming up. And you've got a lefty ready in the bullpen in Scott Alexander, who's been good in his career. And he's been good with the Giants, and he's a lefty to face the lefty. So it's an absolute no-brainer. I personally thought Littell shouldn't even be out there in the first place. And then he goes out there and allows four straight hitters to reach base, and then he gets the double play. So, like, good job getting the double play, but man, he didn't deserve to stay out there against one of the tougher lefties in the game. And so Kapler goes to get him, and Littell just hands him the ball with a little bit more force than is appropriate, just kind of slams the ball into Kapler's hand, and then he just starts mouthing off. He starts chirping at him as he's walking away, you know, turns back towards Kapler and is just talking. And Kapler was just staring at him like, what are you doing? And if you look at the video, you can see Austin Wins is also just like, has this perplexed look on his face. And so, yeah, that was that. They went to Scott Alexander. Scott Alexander got out of the inning and ended up saving the game in the ninth. In other words, he finished out the game, a 3-2 win over a good team, one of the better offensive teams in the game, and he shut the door. So it was the right move because, you know, it just was, even if it didn't work, but then it also worked. And so it was just good managing by Kapler, I think. Although I'm not sure going to Littell in the first place was the right move. That's up for debate. A lot of guys were unavailable because they've pitched a couple of bullpen games recently. They got in super late. Guys were gassed. And so often we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But what's important to me about this, when we're talking about just the dynamics of Kapler and the team and him being in charge, is that he immediately came into the dugout and just said to Littell, come here. And they, you know, it was like a teacher with a student. Like he just said, get your butt over here. And they walked into the tunnel and we don't know what was said exactly, but Kapler made it clear that you can't do that. It's just completely inappropriate behavior to chirp back at the manager on the field. Like if you have a problem with being taken out there, take it up with him after the game in his office where he's made it clear he's always open to those types of conversations. And he's not necessarily going to agree with you, but he'll let you say your piece and he'll give it consideration. But you can't do it on the field where guys, you know, people like me and all the reporters and everybody watching sees it. Kruk and Kipe, the television crew, they're replaying it. They're showing Littell in the dugout. Their news stories are being written about it. Here I am talking about it in segment number one. And so that's all on Zach Littell, and it's completely inappropriate. And I just have to say, he, on the season, after giving up those two runs, Zach Littell has a 5.08 earned run average, 4.65 fielding independent pitching. Some of the other numbers are better, like expected ERA is just 3.44. But still, there's really nothing about the way Zach Littell has performed with the Giants, in my humble opinion, that warrants him having that kind of attitude in that situation with Matt Olson coming up. He, in his Giants career, he does have a 3.82 ERA, but the peripherals are worse. He's not, I just don't feel very confident with Zach Littell pitching, frankly. And so I just was really shocked that he had the kind of nerve to do that. But after the game, I should point out, he did apologize and he said that he apologized to Kapler. And so the fact is, if you watch the postgame show, George Contos, former major league reliever for the Giants and other teams, was talking about how you're a competitor, you want to get out of that inning, and it's your inning in your mind, and it's your base runner on third, and you want to get out of it. And so he got wrapped up in the heat of the moment. Thought Carlos Ramirez on the postgame show made a good point that when you don't have a lot of sleep, you get more irritable. And these guys don't have a lot of sleep right now. And they, like I said, got in at 5 a.m. last night to San Francisco. And then it's been a grind of a season. So I give him kind of a pass. And then he did the right thing and he said the right things afterwards. But it was just, to me, the big takeaway was that I thought Kapler handled it really well. When he was asked about it postgame, he wasn't still worked up about it. He just said, look, Zach, he's a competitor. He wanted to stay in the game, but he knows that's not the appropriate time to do it. And we talked about it and it's over. And so I just thought it was a good display of leadership from Kapler, who I've been pretty clear this season has not gone very right for the Giants. It hasn't been what everyone hoped it would be, but I don't think it's Kapler's fault. I had an episode where I talked about who is to blame for what's gone wrong here. And to me, it was the front office. They just didn't put together a good enough roster and a lot of, I mean, injuries and underperformance, but I don't really think that falls on Kapler. He's mostly been the same guy who he was last year when they won 107 games and he was the manager of the year. So I still think I'm not in favor at all of thinking Kapler is to blame for what's gone wrong here. And things like this just kind of build up his status within the organization. Like he's clearly, I think he's really smart. He, everything he does is like well thought out and generally probably has a good reason. And just to be able to show the leadership too of not letting your players walk all over you, I thought was important. And, you know, everybody in the dugout saw that he immediately came in and handled that. So I just wanted to point that out. But coming up in just a minute, we're going to turn the page to something more positive and talk about Wilmer Flores' extension a little bit more because there are more details. Yesterday was kind of vague, but we have clarity on what the details of the contract are. So we'll talk about what they are in just a minute. But first, betonline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports information this season. Find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news and podcasts, including this year's opening week games, which are past, of course. 49ers, a little bit disappointing. Hope I'm not somehow spoiling it for you on a Tuesday, but BetOnline will tell you all about next week's matchup. It's also your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including Major League Baseball. Yes, we still have baseball, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, as promised, we are going to get into the Wilmer Flores contract extension details and also some quotes from Flores himself and Farhan Zaidi. We've got more Farhan Zaidi content coming up later in the week. He discussed with reporters as he was discussing the Flores contract extension some of their offseason plans and what to expect. And he said, and I'm just going to tease it a little bit, that it's a big offseason for them. He called them a big market team. He said this season has been unacceptable to them, and they're highly motivated to get better. And so I think it is going to be a good offseason for the Giants and their fans. Hopefully, it better be. It better be, because they can't have another season like this, or the pressure really starts to mount, because it is unacceptable. So I won't go into too much detail, because I want to save that probably for tomorrow. But the Wilmer Flores contract extension. So when we discussed it yesterday, the discussion was that it was a 2-year, $13 million deal with this mysterious mutual option for 2025. And so I always thought, like, there's not usually a mutual option that doesn't have some sort of buyout. And it does end up being a very unusual mutual option. But the first 2 years are what we reported that they are. $6.5 million in 2023, $6.5 million in 2024. But when we call it a 2-year, $13 million deal, that actually doesn't really technically get it right, because this third year is at first a player option for $3.5 million. And if Flores says, yes, I want to come back at $3.5 million, it's a done deal. 3 years, $16.5 million would be the full length of this deal. So that's technically what's guaranteed to him. He has the right. Let's say he, you know, blows out his legs or something. I don't want to put that on him, but let's just say he's not performing well towards the end of the deal. He can just simply say, yep, I'm coming back at $3.5 million, whether you like it or not. So that's a 3-year, $16.5 million guarantee. But if he says, no, I don't want to come back for that third year at $3.5 million, which he would do if he was performing really well, or just simply thought he was worth more than 1 year, $3.5 million, even if it's not that much more, he could say no to that $3.5 million. But what happens next is that the Giants get a 1 year, $8.5 million club option that is triggered only if Wilmer Flores declines his player option of $3.5 million. So in that case, it would be a 3-year, $21.5 million contract. But of course, Flores could reject the $3.5 million, and the Giants could reject the $8.5 million, and then it would be a 2-year, $13 million contract. So it's a bit of an unusual structure, and there are several different possible ways it could ultimately end up. But at the end of the day, Flores is guaranteed $16.5 million over 3 years if he so desires, but it may not end up that way. For sure, he's getting 2 years and 13. Anyway, I hope that makes sense. And in terms of just the reaction to it, Flores met with the media and he said, quote, and I'm getting these courtesy of Alex Pavlovich of NBC Sports Bay Area. Flores said, quote, it was a no-brainer. Since day one, I've just been loving the culture here and the way they treat me. I wanted to come back here. I just love everyone here, and playing at this stadium in San Francisco makes me feel good. You can't buy that. And so that was in response to him being asked, why did you pass up the opportunity to go to free agency? It's not like people were asking him, this is stupid of you. Why did you possibly pass it up? But it was more like, look, you're having a solid year. You've had three straight solid years with the Giants. What inspired you to want to get this done instead of reaching the open market when the Giants could make you an offer and 29 other teams could make you an offer? And he just said he's comfortable here. He likes it here. From day one, I've just been loving the culture and the way they treat me. So obviously that reflects positively on the organization. And I think it's just mutual admiration. He appreciates what they do for him, and the organization and the fans and the front office and the staff appreciate what he does for us. And so I'm 100% on board. I think this is a good deal for both sides. We discussed yesterday how yes, the Giants need to get younger and more athletic, and he's over 30 years old. He's not that old. He's like 30. I think he's going to be 31 for most of next year's deal. He's 31 now, but he just recently turned 31. So yes, they need to get younger and more athletic, but that doesn't mean you can't have any players who are like on the other side of 30 and not the most athletic. And of course he's athletic. It's just, he's not the best defender. He's not the worst defender, but he's maybe a little bit below average defensively, but solidly above average offensively against righties and against lefties, kind of a unique profile offensively, a lot of contact, a lot of pull power, and consistent and dependable. He's actually kind of mired in one of these slumps that he doesn't often go through. Yesterday, he was 0 for 4 and struck out 3 times. He had been in a 0 for 18 or something before that home run on Sunday Night Baseball. So I'm looking forward to him turning it around here. Maybe the pressure of the deal and all that is kind of weighing on him a little bit right now. Maybe not. But he actually, we talk about how he's consistent. Well, right now he's in a slump, which doesn't often happen with him. Of course, sometimes it does, but yeah, he just has been really dependable and consistent for the 3 years he's been with the Giants. And before that as well, he's been beloved everywhere he's gone. And so from Farhan Zaidi's perspective, this is what he had to say. Quote, he's been a really popular guy in the clubhouse. He's been popular with our fans. He's been popular with us as a front office because of his versatility, production, and ability to fit on a number of different roles. It has been a nice fit, and we expect that it will continue to be a nice fit as the team evolves going forward. Happy that he was motivated to get something done. We certainly were. So that's kind of my point. He is a fit in a number of different roles. And so if you have a younger and more athletic team, if you start adding some middle of the order bats, like he can stop being necessarily an everyday guy who hits third. He can be a guy who's hitting sixth or seventh and more of a part-time player. And that works for him as well. And it works for the team as well. He's versatile. He can be a guy who pinch hits. And Zaidi said all this. He can be a guy who pinch hits early in the game and then stays in the rest of the game. He can be a guy who pinch hits late in the game. He can start the game and then get substituted out for a defensive replacement. All kinds of different things. He can be a platoon player who's mostly hitting lefties. He can be an everyday player when needed, which he's done. And he's done a lot of that with the Giants. And so, yeah, just a no-brainer. And certainly a guy, and Zaidi said, like, there was strong interest in him at the trading deadline from contenders. And so, yeah, contending teams can find a value for a guy like this. And he was a big part of last year's team that won 107 games. So it's a great fit. I've just explained the details of the contract could end up being 3 years, and he's already been here 3 years, so it could end up being a 6-year stay for Wilmer Flores under the current deal that he signed to. So I get the question a lot, like, whose jersey can I buy? And go ahead and buy a Wilmer Flores jersey if you feel so inclined. Yes, he's not a superstar, but I think he's kind of a guy, maybe not a jersey, but maybe a shirzy, you know, the shirt with the name on it. And, you know, Logan Webb is another guy. There aren't necessarily a ton. Camilo Doval, Tyro Estrada. These are guys who are now locked up for multiple seasons and are popular and quality players. And so I'm just happy that he's back. So coming up in just a minute, a couple of roster moves were made. Cole Waits, big time fastball added to this bullpen. Willie Calhoun, interesting story. When the Giants traded Steven Duggar early in the year, this is the guy they got. He debuted with the Giants yesterday and had one of the biggest hits in the game. And Alex Cobb was really good as well. So we'll get into all of it momentarily. But first, all right, as promised, Cole Waits, Willie Calhoun, and Alex Cobb. So Cole Waits, this is a guy, I mean, he was warming up when Scott Alexander was pitching in the ninth and the tying run was on base, and they were going to go to him if maybe another base runner had gotten on. So his story is remarkable. He started the season in high A, Eugene, and pitched 12 and two-thirds innings there. His strikeout rate was 52%, and he was promoted to double A, where he pitched 21 innings with a strikeout rate of 41.3%. And then he went to AAA, pitched 7 innings, strikeout rate of 40%. And so all of these numbers. I'm kind of oversimplifying it by simply talking about strikeout rate. But, you know, the scouting report is that he has a huge fastball, and he does, and it can touch triple digits, and it's just hard to hit. And he just overpowered his way through the minor leagues. He is 24 years old. He was drafted in the 18th round in 2019. So a draft pick, but in the first year of this new front office. And I think he may be the first from that draft class to make it to the major leagues. I may be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that I'm right. Tell me if I'm wrong on Twitter, at Ben Caspic. But yeah, so he's active and in this bullpen, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him because this bullpen needs a lot of turnover, and we've started to see it. Scott Alexander, I keep talking about him, but I am excited about Scott Alexander. He's a guy, I mean, he's got a major league career earned run average of 3.12 and a major league career ground ball rate of 70%. That's just absurd. League average ground ball rate is about 40-ish percent, 42. I haven't checked super recently, but it's usually around 42, 44, 40, in that range. And he's at 70.2% in his career. Average launch angle against Scott Alexander in his career is -3.7. So balls are just going straight into the ground off of the bat against this guy. And he's pitched 8 2/3 innings with the Giants and put together a 2.08 ERA, 3.35 fielding independent pitching. The expected ERA, 3.95. So I guess some better quality of contact than the results indicate. But the average launch angle against Scott Alexander with the Giants here in this brief 8 games he's played with them, -9 degrees and a ground ball rate of 74%, and striking guys out at a reasonable rate of 22.6%. So if you can strike guys out at a fair clip and get just this extreme ground ball tendency, then you are tough to hit and you're a good player. And he has been in his career, but he's dealt with some injuries. But he lands back with the Giants. My understanding is he's not going to reach 6 years of service time. He's not this season. And so he will be someone they can bring back for 2023. And so this could be a key part of the rest of this year's bullpen and next year's bullpen. And Cole Waits could as well. And there's a lot of guys in that bullpen that they're giving a look to here. So they made some roster moves, as I said. They placed Tommy La Stella on the 10-day injured list with neck spasms. They optioned Austin Dean to AAA. I didn't even mention that he was activated. He was there in Chicago. Patrick Mazzica was designated for assignment. He wasn't in the majors, but they needed to clear a 40-man spot for one of Cole Waits and Willie Calhoun. They both were not on the 40-man roster. So Willie Calhoun is another guy who was added there, and he was the player who was acquired for Steven Duggar way back when the Giants traded Duggar. Calhoun was the centerpiece of the deal that got the Dodgers Yu Darvish back in 2017 from the Texas Rangers. So he didn't really pan out in Texas, but I mean, he didn't pan out at all, but he always had a lot of promise. He was always kind of a projection darling. Like, the projections still are saying he's an above average bat, but he just hasn't been able to actually do it on the major league field, despite some really intriguing numbers. Like, he makes a ton of contact. He doesn't strike out. Career strikeout rate is just 15%, which is significantly better than average. And it showed up last night against Spencer Strider. He threw him a 97-mile-an-hour fastball in on the hands, and he just pulled it off the wall in right field for a big hit, the first run scoring in the game. So Willie Calhoun's going to get a look here. The fact that he's added to the 40-man, he's got years of club control remaining. So he's just another guy who they'll give a look to here, and then they'll have a decision to make about whether to tender him a contract. But he can be brought back next season if they want to. So he's going to get a little bit of an audition here, it would seem. So Alex Cobb, I didn't really get to talk about him much because I've spent a lot of time talking about Alex Cobb, but he just continues to have these numbers not stabilized, but the peripheral numbers that kept suggesting he was so much better than what he was getting early on in the season continue. They act kind of like a magnet. So the numbers, he had, say, a 6.5 ERA in May, and the peripherals were like a 2.8. And so the way I kind of visualize it is, as the season has gone on, that 2.8 number has just acted like a magnet pulling down the ERA to its level. And it just has been happening little by little. It takes a while to whittle that down, but it just, the ERA just keeps coming down. Seven shutout innings last night. The stuff was just really good. And the peripherals are still suggesting around 2.8. Right now, the FIP is 2.90. So that number hasn't changed much, but the ERA has come down from whatever it was, 6.5, to now 3.48, which is significantly better than the league average. So it's just been, in my opinion, a really good season for Cobb. He's another guy. He gets strikeouts at a slightly above average rate, but his ground ball rate is absurd. I mean, it's really high for a starting pitcher at 61.2%. That's actually the top rate in the National League with a minimum of 120 innings pitched. Second in the National League, Logan Webb. So clearly something that they value, and to have extreme ground ball rates and above average strikeout rates is just a really good combination. And that's why these peripheral numbers are so good. And the ERA still has room to fall, but it's fallen a lot and come much closer to where those peripherals suggested it should be. So I just want to give credit to Cobb and credit to the Giants. This is looking like a really good signing, in my opinion. And he is someone who is under contract for next season for $9 million. And there's a team option for the year after that. So it's nice to have Alex Cobb locked up. He's arguably been better than Logan Webb this season by a lot of numbers, but Webb has been good and Cobb has been good. So I'm not trying to say Webb stinks and Cobb is good. Not that at all. But he's been up there kind of toe-to-toe with Logan Webb, if not slightly above him, by all the peripheral numbers, not necessarily the ERA, which Webb has the advantage in. So Rodon and Webb and Cobb is just a really nice 1-3 right now, even though it hasn't been a great season for the Giants. So I'd like to see them bring back Rodon or at least some frontline starter. And then if you have those three and you have Junis and you have Wood and DeSclafani coming back, you've got pretty good rotation depth already, getting you set for an important offseason when really the priority is going to be adding position player talent, and there's a lot of it out there. So coming up tomorrow, we're going to focus a little bit more on these comments by Farhan Zaidi. They've talked about wanting to extend Joc Pederson. How does that fit in with transforming the roster instead of just bringing people back? Because there need to be some changes. But also, Flores has been good. Pederson has been good in their roles. So it's fine to bring those guys back as long as you add impact talent around them. So we'll get into that tomorrow. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen today. Now make your second listen. The Locked On MLB podcast, MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan brings humor, passion, and unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter, at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. It helps me out a lot, so thanks in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. Can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You are now Locked On Giants.